But like I say, we've learned a few lessons along the way, and that's what we're able to share with you today, just a few lessons that we've learned along the way. And we've got a team of guys who are really keen, fighting to get here today. And
Through the storm.
Through the storm. Yeah, we've come through the storm. So yeah, we're going to share a few things that we've learned. And like I say, we have seen God raise up leaders, and I don't believe leadership from the church needs to stay solely in the church. I believe very much that we as Christians are mandated to take that and exercise that outside the church as well. So let's welcome Ben, and he's going to kick us off.
Steal this and bring us over here. I'll allow you. Excellent.
You can put that in your pocket.
Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And it is an absolute pleasure, as Tom said, to be here. And just kind of want to echo what he said about, you know, we've been praying for you guys, and in our prayer meetings we see pictures of the building and stuff like this. And to come here and see these plans is just really exciting. And I just couldn't believe that it was the actual building when I got here. I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that before in a photograph, but all of a sudden it's real. So yeah, it really is amazing. So my name is Ben. I'm originally from Cambridge, 23 years old, and I came to Loughborough 4 years ago-ish, 3.5 years ago, as a student. I graduated this summer with a geography degree, which was not just colouring in, but it was great fun, I must say. And yeah, been part of the World Church ever since then. This year I'm taking a year out to serve the church, and my main role of doing that is working with the youth and being a youth worker. And I'm absolutely loving this year. It really is terrific, and Martin's all right, so I get to spend a lot of time with him as well. And no, he's great. He's great. So that's just a little bit about me. And yeah, we're looking at kind of, you know, the world needs more Christian leaders. So I just want to ask you this one thing, okay? Do you count yourself a leader? Okay, and just have a think about that. Because I think there'll be some people in here who'll be like, put their hands up straight away and think, yes, I'm a leader. That I'm qualified, that's me. There'll be some people in here who'd be like, oh, no way, there's no way God has called me to any kind of leadership at all, and just really kind of back away from that. And then still there might be a few of you who are like on the fence, oh yeah, maybe, not sure, oh, don't know. Well, I just want to encourage you guys, whichever one of those three camps you're in, actually this message is for you today. Now, this isn't just about for those who come and stand up and preach on a Sunday. This isn't just for those of you who are leading ministries or anything like that. This is for every single Christian believer. And I really do believe that. And we're going to take a look at what Scripture has to say about that a bit later on. But first, I just want to define what we're talking about when we're talking about leadership. What really is leadership? What is it about? And I thought, you know, I'm going to go on Google and type in leadership and see what happens. Let's go. So this is what Google says. When I say leadership, the action of leading a group of people or an organization or the ability to do this. And I thought, that's interesting. The world sees leadership as an ability to lead an organization or a group of people. And it's very much kind of talent and skill focused. Actually, I think what Scripture's really talking about is more of a responsibility, actually, rather than ability. So John Maxwell, who is a Christian, and he's written many books on leadership, and he's kind of big in business and this sort of things, high up in leadership positions. He says this: leadership is not about titles, positions, or flowcharts. It is about one life influencing another. And I just think he's really caught something really quite unique about, you know, what leadership really is about. It's about influencing the lives of others. I think as Christians, we're all called to do that, aren't we? We're all called to be salt and light in this world, to change this world for the glory of God, and to be an influence on others. I just think there's something really, really key there. So it's more about a responsibility, almost a duty, something that God has given us rather than skills and talents and abilities. And I think as Christians, it's something we're all called to do. Something else John Maxwell says as well. He says, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And Jesus says, doesn't he? He says in John's Gospel, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How great and encouraging it is that we know the way. We know the way. His name is Jesus. And we can go the way. We can go the way of Jesus. As we've just been singing today about Jesus being the cornerstone and how we're going to build our lives upon him, we're going to follow that and go Jesus' way. And then we have the privilege of showing the way to all those around us, to this town, to Bryn Mawr, and to the town of Loughborough as well for us. We have the privilege of showing other people Jesus. And so leadership is less about ability and our skills and what we can and can't do, but it's more about a responsibility that God has given each and every one of us to have a kingdom influence in this world. So let's take a look at the Bible together. If you have a Bible, please do turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And we're looking... Yeah, sure. Let's do that. I'll go and grab the notes. Or Martin. Martin will. Oh, yeah, there we go.
There's also, if it's going to, if you want something to worry about, worry more about the water dripping down above the plugs.
I could be electrocuted. Indeed. So yeah. Simon Brading classic. So Martin's just handing around the notes now. He should have three pages. And where we're up to now is about halfway down the page, under a bold heading that says Biblical Leadership. There we go. So gonna dive into scripture together. Come on. So the passage we're looking at is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I'll be reading from an NIV.
Thank you.
So Genesis 1, 26. Yep. So this is before the fall. This is right at the beginning of creation. This is right at the very start, and God is creating man. This is what God says. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." I just think this is a fantastic passage that really just really sets kind of God's heart for what he wants his people to be like right at the very beginning. And there are just four things in particular that I just want to kind of draw out from this passage with regards to biblical leadership. So you can follow along. They're all listed, not numbers. But there we go. The first one, you see, underlined is the word they. They. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they." So God here is addressing both Adam and Eve when he's talking about they. And in fact, it's both the people. It's not just Adam, okay, and it's not just Eve, but in fact, it's both of them. It's all of the people that he's creating. And I think that's really important because quite a lot of the times we can disqualify ourselves from leadership. And on what grounds? On what grounds do we do that? You see, women, you are called to leadership. We have some fantastic ladies in our church who lead some of our ministries, who lead some of our kids' ministries, and they're brilliant. So you are both called to leadership, men and women. You know, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something else that you feel there's a barrier there. There's a reason why I can't be a leader. There's a reason why I can't do that. Actually, God says that they may rule over creation. They may rule over and have leadership. And that there is no barrier and there is no disqualification for anybody. So secondly, is, you know, God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. I think we'd all agree that God created the universe and he's powerful and he's magnificent And then we can sometimes read this and think, oh yeah, we're made to be like God, and then actually completely forget what that actually means and the connotations of that. We are made in the likeness of an almighty, powerful God who created the whole universe, who has supreme authority and leadership and responsibility over all creation. And he has created us in his image. Now, when I think of it like that, I just think, wow, wow. Not looking inwardly at myself and about how awesome and powerful I could be, but actually how awesome God is, the fact that he would make us to share in what he has and to be called into that. We have been given a God-given responsibility to rule over creation because we are made in his likeness. We are made to have authority and to lead responsibly. So then, let us make so that. So this is the third point. So then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that. And I think I heard someone once say, whenever they see a therefore written in the Bible, they always think to themselves, what is the therefore there for? You might have heard that one before. And I think the same goes with a so that. There's a kind of this connotation of there's something following on. Okay, something's preceded it, and okay, now what? Now what is the point to this? And that is, you know, we are created for a purpose. God says, let us make so that. And so, guys, we are created with a purpose. We are created with a purpose to lead in this world, to have responsibility to rule over creation. And I think that's really tremendous and exciting. If you're in leadership, it's not by accident. It's not because you kind of stumbled across it. Actually, we're all called to lead out of our own purpose. And part of that purpose is to lead with responsibility and good stewardship. That it's not an exploitive domination of the world. You know, sadly, we can see leadership in the world exercised badly, can't we? Sometimes with big multinational corporations and capitalism looking to just take advantage and make money. But actually, this is a good kind of leadership, a responsible, good stewarding leadership that we use to give glory to God and not to ourselves. Leadership is part of our very existence. It's part of who we are because we are created for that purpose. It's not some people have it, some people haven't, or have or haven't. It's not a characteristic that only belongs to certain types of people, that only the extroverts like me have, because I like being around people and talking a lot, okay? But it's actually for everyone, okay? And a part of our purpose that God put us here on this earth for. It's just a quote from a book by David Atkinson that I read a couple of weeks ago. He says this: what matters is not the presence of certain abilities so much as the fact that God has set in us a certain relationship to himself. And guys, I think that's really the kind of point I'm trying to get across here, is that it's all about our relationship with God, and in that he has given us this purpose, he has given us this responsibility to steward the earth faithfully. And it's not about whether I can do it or whether I'm good enough or have the abilities or the talents. Okay, we are all in this. Every believer is called together to be good stewards and take responsibility of leadership in this world. So fourthly then, and finally, God calls us to rule over creation. And he says, and again, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. And now I don't know how many times you've come across this verse, but I've certainly read this verse before, and I never really just kind of grasped it. I kind of read over like, yeah, okay, so we're like, you made mankind responsible for the earth. I'm really guilty of just being like, hold on, let's take a step back. God made Adam and Eve, mankind, to be responsible for the whole of the earth. Now, I get pretty scared and uptight when I'm like responsible for something quite small and little, and I'm like, oh, what if it goes wrong? Oh no, hang on, these guys were responsible for the whole earth. I just like, when I read that again, I was like, whoa, God, how could you put them in responsible over everything? Isn't that just crazy? Isn't that mind-blowing? And it just, what I think I have, I just think, oh, I've got so much less. I've got so much less responsibility than having the earth. But actually, our responsibility is to change the world. And it is to change the world for Jesus. And I just want to share a bit of a story about some responsibility I had when I was in this position of responsibility and of leadership. I had just finished my A levels. I had planned to go to university, and sadly didn't get in. I didn't get the grades I needed, and I didn't have an insurance choice. So I was kind of left a bit stuck with kind of, okay, God. I'm technically unemployed, not a student, not really having anything going on with my life. I'm a bit stuck, really. What am I doing? It just all seemed a bit hopeless for me, really. But I applied for a job and just thought, okay, God, I'm just going to try and just get any work you want me to do, earn a little bit of money, and then God will, I'm yours from there, and we'll see where it goes, really. And so I got a job in a shop called Pastimes. I applied initially to be a sales assistant, and I got offered an interview, and I had an interview with the area manager of the company, so quite a senior figure in charge of all the stores in the southeast of England. So this is when I was in Cambridge at the time here, and I met with her, had an interview, and at the end she seemed really impressed, and she said, "Oh Ben, I think you're really great, and would you be interested in any managerial positions potentially?" And I was like, "Yes, please, sure, great," which was fantastic. And then I got offered a job, and it was a shop floor manager. So it's an okay wage, like especially for the age I was and the stage of life that I was at, living with my parents and not having to pay bills and any of that kind of stuff. And that was really good. Had a store manager who was my boss, and she was fantastic. We got on really, really well together. And then after 2 weeks, she said, "Ben, how would you like to become my deputy?" So I said, "Yes, please." And so I took on even more responsibility. And so then some of the stuff I was doing was, cashing up. And there were some times when I was actually in charge of thousands and thousands of pounds, and I was responsible for that money. I was in charge and responsible for the other members of staff, the other sales assistants, like giving them training, keeping them on task, encouraging them, these kind of things. And so very, very quickly, I was 18 at the time, very, very quickly I was finding myself taking on a lot of this responsibility. And then I think it was sometime in November, my boss turned to me and said, "Oh Ben, I've booked some annual leave for a week. Do you want to just look after the store while I'm gone?" And I just thought, oh my goodness, I am acting store manager for a week. I have no idea what I'm doing. Why are you leaving this shop in charge of an 18-year-old boy who's just come out of school? That is really stupid. This place is going to look an absolute mess when you get back. And I felt really, really ill-equipped, because I knew that even with all the responsibility I had as deputy manager, I still had my boss who was there for me and above me, but now I was just kind of left to it. And you know what? Had a great week, and it was by God's grace, and he was with me all the time. It wasn't about my ability. It was about the responsibility that God had given me to take care of this shop, to look after it, to get the sales, to be good to the staff. And by his grace, I was faithful in that, and it was great. And in the end, that turned out to be a really good week for the company. And so I just want to encourage you might feel out of your depth with some of these things. You may feel completely out of your depth, but God is there with you. So that was my experience of being in the workplace, and how then God just really kind of put on my heart that position of responsibility and that leadership, and how I went about that. Or maybe to you, that responsibility is going to be different, because Pastimes is now bust. So there we go. You can't work for Pastimes. Sorry, guys. But it may be that you're raising. It wasn't. I got so much stick about that. Funny you mentioned that. They're like, hey, sure, pastime's closed. I was like, no, guys. So you guys, responsibility is going to look different here. Actually, some of these things are quite big. Some of these things are quite small. But actually, we can't neglect the small things. Actually, the kingdom of heaven, isn't it? It's like a mustard seed, isn't it? Starts small, grows big. It could be raising children to know and love Jesus. That is a huge responsibility, guys. That is huge. And God has entrusted that to you. And what a precious leadership responsibility that is. And I'm unmarried and have no kids. I don't have that responsibility yet. Okay, it could be to be a witness in your workplace, in your school, in your college, at home, in your neighborhood community, in your sports teams, in your activity groups. Whatever it is, guys, we are called to be salt and light for Jesus and to be distinctive and to take a lead there. Caring for Bryn Mawr, that's something, guys, that you are called to do, and we're called to be good stewards and rule over the earth. I'm not called to be a good steward to Bryn Mawr. I'm called at the moment to be a good steward to Loughborough. This is something that God has entrusted to each of you who live in this town. It could be being a head of a board or an executive committee. It could be representing your town as an MP or in the local council. It could be being a church elder or a ministry leader, kids worker, pastoral carer, or doing tea and coffees. God has given you leadership responsibility to take hold of. And it's about being entrusted with that and trusting that God is with you in that. No matter how big or small, these are all really significant things. So that is just a small passage and a small insight into kind of biblical leadership. But maybe after all that, some of you are thinking, okay, so I've been made in God's likeness here. I've been made to lead. I have this responsibility of leadership. But there is no way that I could possibly carry it out. How could little old me possibly do this? So I just want to just dive into another bit of scripture just really quickly. No need to turn to it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. I'll just read from verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So the passage goes on as well to talk about, you know, lilies in a field and how God clothes them. Well, I think the main point of this is that reading that, I started to almost kind of get a little bit lost, a little bit confused. I was thinking, God, you've given us dominion over the earth, to rule over the earth, and yet you're the one who feeds the sparrows. You're the one who clothes the lilies of the field. So how does that work? How does it work that you're the God who is providing everything and yet we're kind of almost in charge of it all, having this responsibility without having any of the resources? And then it just hit me in the face, like, actually, guys, part of our leadership and responsibility is that we're actually meant to come to God and trust him. Hello. Good afternoon. Hello. Come in. Yeah, we're just talking about leadership. Come on. Excellent. I'm Ben. Really good for you to be with us. There we go. So guys, we're designed and we're made to actually be reliant on God in all this, to trust in him. Just as I was managing this shop for a week, I had no idea what I was doing as an 18-year-old being in charge of a shop on the high street. I was like freaking out. But actually, if you're feeling ill-equipped, if you're feeling like I cannot possibly do this leadership thing, I cannot possibly take on this responsibility, actually, we're not made to do it all in our own strength, guys. We are meant to come to our Father in relationship with him and ask him for the resources and the things that we need. And I think that's just so important, and the difference that makes is massive. I just want to share with you a couple of times now that when I was doing a couple more talks, and just after I finished my degree at university, Martin and myself went out to Malawi, and I was very much still in university mode, even though I graduated, and Martin asked me to prepare a couple of talks for this youth conference. And so I almost tackled it like an essay. I thought, this is what I've got to do. This is my assignment. Let's crack on. Let's write this talk. Great. We're going to do a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Come on. And then I got there. And then all of a sudden, I just wasn't really so sure. And it was a very different place, Malawi, as you can imagine. Very kind of cross-cultural mission. I had to tailor my approach very, very differently, and I had a translator and things like that, and started using kind of more a lot of stories, a lot of examples, and then just really kind of found it difficult to really adjust. And so it ended up being a bit like trying to make something of my talk that it kind of wasn't, and it's because I relied on my own strength. I thought, oh, I've just gone and done this degree, and I have the writing skills to be able to do this. And actually, it didn't turn out that great. By God's grace, Martin prayed for me, which was lovely, needed it. And the next day it went okay, which was really good. But this is so different to a different talk that I did maybe just a few months ago now. We ran an alpha course, and I had the privilege, responsibility to give the last talk of our alpha course. It was about the church, and it had just been a really, really busy week, and I had been spending a bit of time structuring the talk and preparing for it, but I didn't give it anywhere near as much time as I would have liked. And so I felt like I was going into this talk a bit underprepared. But I just cried out to God, and I was like, God, I really need you. Really need you to show up. I need you to do something here, because I do not feel like I can do this. And even when I was talking, even when I was up the front, I was just thinking, tried not to show it or let it on, but I was thinking, oh, this is awful. Why isn't everyone just going home? Why are they here listening to me babble on about church? I'm making church sound so fun, aren't I, God? Yeah, come on. And I just didn't feel comfortable at all. But you know what? At the end of the talk, a friend of mine came up to me, and she said, Ben, that was absolutely fantastic. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jenny. You're just being, can I use her real name? No, too late, sorry. great. sorry, where was I? She came up to me and said, yeah, Ben, that was great. And I thought, well, thank you for being really nice. I'm sure you're just trying to be nice. You're not actually meaning that, but no, thank you, I really appreciate it. And she was like, no, I'm serious. My friend, who's not a Christian tonight, she came along, absolutely loved it. And so much so that she went up to Nottingham to get her sister to drive her back down to Loughborough just so that she could come to church and then drive her back again. She caught something about church that was so wonderful that she was desperate to come along, and not only come along herself, but to go to Nottingham and back to bring her sister to come and experience church, because she thought it just sounded amazing. And I just thought, wow, God, that was not me. That was you. And that was me being in a place of complete and utter dependency on God. Guys, when we take responsibility in whatever area of life we are at, whatever we're doing, we are to totally trust and rely on God for the resources of our leadership. And He will provide. So what does this look like in practice then? We won't read this out. For time, but parable of the talents. It's in Matthew 25, 14 to 30. If you like, feel free to read it later in your own time. Basically, the crux of the passage is that there's a kind of master, and he issues three servants with three bags of gold. One gets one talent, one gets two, one gets five. They're told to kind of go out and use it well, and the one that has five comes back with five more, and the master says, you good and faithful servant, well done. I've put you in responsibility of small things. I will now put you in responsibility of big things. The guy with two bags comes back with two more, and the master says exactly the same thing to the servant. But there's one, the white guy with one talent goes and buries it in the ground. And so he comes back and he says, oh, master, I just kind of hid your money because I was fearful. And the master says, you wicked servant, you're going to be thrown outside. And I think there's a lot of things we can take in this passage about our responsibility and our call to leadership. And I think they just want to put this into context, that a talent was initially a measure of weight. It wasn't actually assigned to kind of any kind of monetary value or anything like that, because we often read this passage and think, talent. That means my talents, my ability, my gifting. Oh, God has given me one bit of gifting. Oh, he's given so-and-so over there five. Oh, well, isn't that nice of you, God? Thank you very much. Or maybe we could be like, oh, yes, five bag servants. Oh, God, you've given me five bags. Oh, bless him, Lord. He's only got one. Bless him. But I think it's more actually that talent is a measure of weight, and it's the measure of weight of responsibility that God has entrusted to us. I think, you know, for a lot of us, we will be two bag servants. I think, you know, one bag servant, if you think about it, might be a newborn baby. That's no responsibility in life. There we go. You know, me, as I said earlier, I've been in charge of a shop. Wasn't quite the whole world, but that felt really big to me at the time. I lead the youth work. That's part of my responsibility. But I don't have a wife. I don't have children. I don't have the responsibility of bringing them up to know Jesus. And I think there'll always be other youth leaders who have bigger and better youth groups than me, better. Yeah. And have just more responsible for more young people than I am. There'll be some youth leaders who are responsible for less. And so I think it's just helpful to put us in the middle there. But the important thing is that actually, the talents that we're given is the responsibility that we've been given, rather than the gifting. And God gives us this responsibility in a measure that we can handle for our given situation in life. Okay, God will not overburden you or give you more than you can handle. Okay, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But it's important to note that if you do feel like, oh, I've not got much responsibility right now, actually, even the servant with the one bag of gold, or the one talent, he had riches beyond his wildest dreams. So when you take the weight of one talent and you turn that weight into gold, that is worth about 20 years' salary. And so we all have a great responsibility entrusted to us, and that is to be salt and light in this world, to share what we have and tell others about Jesus. And that's really, really exciting. So, yeah, as I said, some of our responsibilities. I lead the youth work at the World Church. Started doing that last year whilst I was still a student. But really having taken this year out for the church, just really seeing some great fruit as a result of that. I just want to share with you a little bit about how that's happened, how that's gone on. Because I really think that actually what we're called to do is to take our responsibility, however big or small that is, and be faithful with what we've been given. And God will give us more. Okay, I think that's the whole point of the parable of the talents. That's what it's getting at here. And so last year, there were three young people in our youth group at the World Church. And we thought about launching a kind of a youth group, a youth night. And now two of those young people in our church youth group live in Leicester. And it's a bit of a commute and unfortunately couldn't be with us for this Friday group. And so we were left with one in our youth group who could make this Friday night youth club. And we thought, okay, great. One young person, not really much of a youth group. Is it more of a youth solo? But okay, Lord, take it and we'll see what happens. We'll see what we do with it. I thought the whole point of this group is so that this one lad can invite his friends from school and they can just come and have a good time. And so we set out not knowing what was going to happen, but just wanting to be faithful with the responsibility that God had given us as a youth team. To be able to do this. So it's an absolute privilege to be able to serve with Matt here and another girl called Laura. It's brilliant. We helped start this thing off with a couple of others, and it involved this one boy bringing one friend along from school. And for maybe 3-4 months, It was just the two of them coming along. And we had a youth group of two. And it was fun. We got like the Wii Connect thingy out and did some stuff. I don't know. And played some games, played Lego Pirates of the Caribbean and played Twister. And it was generally a good time. And we thought, you know, we need to put something on here that really, you know, really serves them well. Something they really enjoy. Something that they're going to really want to come to and come back to. And they did. And they really enjoyed it. And then slowly more of their friends came along from school. And I think at the point where, you know, maybe it's the third month, maybe it's the fourth, we could have just thought, oh, guys, we've just had two come along and one of them's at church already. We've only had one lad from outside of church come along to this group. Is there any point, Lord? What are we doing? Is there any point in carrying on with this? Where are we going? But actually, it's so good to just trust God and be faithful with the responsibility that he'd given us. And so now we're at a stage where we've got about 16, 17 young people. Five of those are churched. And so we've got 12 from school, which is really exciting. Most months we've had someone new come along, which has been absolutely wonderful. And God has really poured his blessing out on that group. And it's just been so good just to see that what God will do when we're faithful with things. That when we're faithful in the small things, he will give us more. And so I now lead the team this year with Hannah. Hannah's on that team as well. And Matt stays as involved as he can whilst being in Stevenage, which I very much appreciate, Matt. So, yeah, thank you. And a couple of others. And we're now going to be starting a new Friday group, which is going to be called Overflow. The first one's this Friday. So there we go. Please be praying for that, guys. Please be just listening to that in prayer. And it's going to be just about kind of watching a film together and having some discussion and introducing them to faith and talking about these kind of things. And we're just really excited with that. We're not sure quite yet how it's going to work and still see things up in the air. You were hoping I was going to have it all sorted. I haven't, I'm sorry. But I trust that God's given me this responsibility. We've now gathered these 12 unchurched young people. And he's just saying, what are you going to do with them now, Ben? What are you going to do with them? And we really want to see them introduced to the gospel and introduced to Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. So come on. So that's kind of me and my responsibility that I have at the moment. Okay, what's your responsibility? What are you going to be doing at the moment? What are you going to take? What have you been entrusted with? Are you going to take that and be faithful with it and make more? That's what God wants, guys. No matter how big or small that is God's heart for you. It's not about how much we have. Okay, and God isn't looking for equal return from everyone. Okay, I find it very interesting when I read this passage that actually the commendation that the master says to his two servants, the one with the five bags of gold and the one with the two bags of gold, the one with five bags, he's got his five bags and he brings back five more. Oh, he's got loads. And God says to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. And the guy with two bags comes back with two more bags. And you can read it. You can read it. It's right there in Scripture. God says the exact same thing. He says, well done, you good and faithful servant. I don't think it matters, okay, if you've got a little bit and you make a little bit more, okay? If I've, leading a youth group of, 17-odd young people, when Bob over in America has got a youth group of 300 and is seeing 1,000 come to Christ every week or something, I know that's a really extreme example. it's so easy to compare, isn't it, and compare success with other people and think, oh, how are they doing? Oh, they look like they're doing much better. Actually, we're just called to be faithful with what we've been entrusted with and what we have been given. It'll be exactly the same commendation for you to be faithful with the small things as it is with the big things. So maybe for you, that is running an activity in the community. If that's you, run it well. Serve the people who come along well. Maybe you're being a witness to your best friend who's unchurched and doesn't know Jesus yet. In that case, we're just called to live like Jesus, aren't we? Called to be salt and light. Don't underestimate that responsibility and that leadership that you have to show Jesus to your friends. Maybe it's around the dinner table and you're having dinner with your family and you're just wanting to have really godly conversations that honor God, that encourage your kids, that allow them to look to Him. You know, that's a responsibility that I don't have, but maybe some of you have that, you have children. Or maybe it's preaching to a crowd of 5,000, like Jesus did. Maybe it's not 5,000, maybe it's preaching to a church on a Sunday. Maybe it's leading a kids activity or a youth work activity. Whatever it is, guys, grasp it with both hands and be faithful with it. Just be faithful with it and God will add to it. Okay, that's His promise. That is His promise, and I've seen that. And so I can be sure going forward that is, God is true to His word there. That He will take what we started with these two young people and He will grow it. Guys, if you are faithful with these small things, God will entrust you with more and He will grow it. It's awesome. So that's it then, guys. That is it. That is a leadership responsibility that we all have. It's what we're all called to do. So what is stopping you? What is stopping you taking up this leadership responsibility that God has called us to do together? And so I kind of see kind of two camps of people sometimes, and I just want to say which kind of camp are you in, and which kind of camp am I in? I need to challenge myself here, guys. The two groups. The first one is the lazy camp and the unwilling camp. Now the lazy camp say, I cannot be bothered to do this whole leadership thing. I just can't be bothered. I'm too idle. And the unwilling say, oh, I just don't want to do it. I don't think it's for me. Actually, we need to have just a renewed mind here, a renewed sense of thinking. And actually, when we say, I can't be bothered and I don't want to, we sometimes kid ourselves into thinking that actually what we're doing is for us. It's not, guys. It's for God. It's for God and His glory. We get given these bags of gold, these talents, to go and make more, to bring back to our Master. We don't get these talents so that we can keep them for ourselves. Okay, I think it's really, really important to remember that. And actually to remember it's also a privilege. What a privilege it is to be made in the image and the likeness of God. That the supreme ruler, author of creation, has all authority over heaven and on earth, and we are made in His likeness. And it's a privilege to have leadership responsibility. So maybe that's you today. Over in the other camp, I don't know if I went there last time. If I went there, it's over there. If I went there, it's over here. And there we go. The other one can be fear or inadequacy. Those who are fearful say, I'm too scared. I worry about this leadership thing. Oh, panic. Those who are inadequate say, I'm not able. I do not have the skills or the gifts or the abilities to take on positions of leadership or any kind of responsibility. Actually, guys, there is a warning in this parable that actually if we take this one talent that we've been given and we bury it in the ground, then actually we lose our inheritance. The way I like to see it, guys, is this is not, it's not a rule, but real faith produces works in us, guys. It produces good works. And so I want to encourage you that actually what we shouldn't be doing is looking to those who have more than us and thinking, oh, they've got it all sorted. God has entrusted loads to them. I'm going to leave it to them. They're the 5-bag servants and I'm the 1-bag servant. Because actually it's at those times when we just take what we've been given and we bury it in the ground. Okay. Actually it's, okay God, what can I do now? What can I do with this that you've given me? It may be small, but what can I go and do with it? What can we do with it together? How can I be faithful with what you've been given? And remembering that it's God who will provide the resources, as we've read in Matthew chapter 6. It is God who feeds the birds. It is God who will give you the words to say. He will give you the gifts and the abilities that you need to do it, okay? It will all come from God and not within ourselves. And actually, when we focus on God and look to God, that's when amazing things happen. Like when I spoke at Alpha, it was great. Really didn't think it wasn't, but it was. And I spoke in my own strength, and it didn't work out. But there we go. well, who knows what God has done with that talk? God may have actually changed the nation, but there we go. Who knows? It's God's grace, isn't it? It's not nothing to do with me. But if you don't feel like a leader, you know the truth that God will give you all the resources that you need when you need them. Just rely on him and trust in him. He's a good father, and he will give you all what you need to take on your responsibility in the world. So, coming back to that opening question then, do you count yourself a leader? Do you count yourself a leader? The truth is, whether you feel able or whether you don't, God has given you a privileged responsibility, big or small, to take a lead in this world. And so I just want to close by just praying for us all, because some of us have not really thought that, and maybe you've been in these camps of just feeling too lazy, feeling unwilling, being fearful, or being inadequate. And actually, guys, you know, we need to repent of that. We need to repent of that wrong way of thinking and get into a renewed mindset of, okay, God, this is what you've called us to do. This is what you've called me to do, to take this responsibility that you've given me and use it faithfully. So, Lord Jesus, I just really thank you that you were there at the beginning of creation. Lord, you are the author of creation and you are the author of salvation. God, you created the heavens and the earth. You are mighty, you're big, and you're wonderful. And you created us in your image, God. Thank you so much for doing that and the privilege that you've given us to have responsibility to rule over the earth and subdue it. Father God, we just really ask that we would just take that on, Lord, and realize what that looks like to be made in your likeness, Lord Jesus, to have this responsibility, to have leadership in our world and our society, to lead others to you. And Lord, we say sorry, we ask for forgiveness, and we repent at the times where we've been fearful, when we've been inadequate, when we felt lazy, when we've been unwilling, Lord Jesus. We just repent of that and say sorry before you now. And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray an impartation of boldness and of strength and of courage of everyone here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, and that we do not have a spirit of timidity, but we have a spirit of power. And so, God, would you just put that, pour out your spirit upon us now, Lord Jesus. May we just receive from you. In your name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.